The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, breathing in, one concentrates. Breathing out, one concentrates the mind. Breathing in, one steadies the mind. Breathing out, one steadies the mind. Breathing in, one unifies the mind. Breathing out, one unifies the mind. So all these words, concentrate, steady, unify, are all kind of facets of the same thing, of developing and deepening meditation practice. And it can be helpful in the deepening of practice to have some landmarks, so have some signposts, some kind of sense of where we're going or what we're looking for, what we're valuing as we develop meditation practice. Because the, subconsciously, unconsciously, the mind is valuing all kinds of things, and that's why the mind, the thoughts go off thinking about the past, future, fantasy, what we're worrying about, what we want, because we prioritize or we put value into those concerns. But if we have value in the process of meditation and the signposts, the experiences of meditation, and enough to recognize them, then we make space for them to grow. We make space for them to nourish us and support us and provide more confidence, more reassurance. Oh, this is good. This is the right thing to do. So it's easier to put down our preoccupations. And so with this deepening of the practice, there's things like the mind becomes stiller, quieter. The mind, the body becomes softer, more malleable. There becomes a sense of well-being of different kinds, joy and happiness, settledness. There can be a sense of joy and happiness. There can be equanimity. There can be a sense of being really embodied, like now I really feel the vitality of our life coursing through us and really feeling present and whole or settled. Ah, it feels so good to be at home in this body. And the same thing with the mind. The mind can feel, have assurance to it, be peaceful. The mind can start feeling expansive, as if the mind has room for all the little details, all the dramas of our life, all the concerns we have, all the little experiences. The details, anything that's a detail, can be held now in a mind that's really broad and wide, like a very large room, or that can hold all the everybody inside in a peaceful, spacious way. So this expansive mind, open mind. There can be for some people a sense of brightness, even light, that comes on, that feels really good. But I wanted to provide you with three similes, analogies that the Buddha uses for this deepening of meditation practice. And the advantage of similes or analogies is that each person kind of interpreted or find themselves in it more easily than with a clear kind of technical description of what might supposed to be happening in meditation. Simile analogies are a little like poetry. They're evocative. They touch our kind of imagination, maybe even our emotions a little bit. These things also can a little bit kinesthetic or somatic sometimes, these images, so that our somatic involvement with associations come into play as well. And there's a lot of room for personal uniqueness, so our own way of finding ourselves in these analogies. So I want to offer three of them, and they're kind of three progressive deepening stages of meditation. And the first, they all use water in the analogies. And it's never been explained to me why water keeps being used in these similes, analogies, what it represents. But I take it to represent the mind or awareness itself. And that's the medium in which we're operating right now, or the mind, the awareness. And so this awareness begins, takes different shapes, different forms as it practice deepens. So the first simile is water being sprinkled into, in our modern equivalent, into flour. And as the water gets sprinkled in, the water gets folded in, kneaded in, stirred into the flour until the flour becomes dough, you know, to make bread. And so what's important is that all the water that's being sprinkled in gets kneaded in and spread out evenly throughout the dough. And so part of the kneading of the bread, kneading of the flour, the dough, is to get that spread out, the equally around, so that the dough kind of can hold together, the flour can hold together into one whole. So that's the analogy. And in a sense, the flour is the body, and the water is the awareness or the mind. And we want to bring these together. So the awareness is immersed in or penetrates throughout the body. So the body and mind are to be in the same place at the same time. If the mind is thinking about other times and other places, then the body and mind are separated. But if the mind starts focusing, awareness starts entering into the body and is present for the body, like for the breathing, then the mind is kind of in the same place in the same time as the body. And by doing that, what we're looking for is the body and mind to end up in a kind of harmony with each other, a kind of unification and harmonious working together, where there can be real experience feelings of health and healthiness and wholesomeness that can't be felt if there's a real dichotomy, real separation between these two parts of ourselves. And so we take awareness and we bring it into our breathing. It's kind of nice, the breathing itself is kind of a massage, a kind of a kneading. But we bring our awareness and we place it, we sprinkle it into something like our breathing. And then we want to knead it. We want to stay there with the breathing. And those are two different movements that I talked about yesterday. The contact, the placing of attention somewhere, like with the breathing, and then keeping it there. And keeping it there is not holding it necessarily steady, but a gentle kind of working it and staying there, be there. And then we have to do it again because the mind wanders off. And we come back and connect and stay there. And that's a sprinkling of awareness into our breathing, into our body. And we're kneading it in. And so there's a massage, there's a rhythm of coming back and applying yourself, staying there, reconnecting. And so for every beginning of the inhale and beginning of the exhale, there's a kind of gentle reconnecting that goes on there. And then a staying there, stay there, be there. So the massage. And so slowly, we're beginning to penetrate awareness into the whole experience of breathing, so it's continuous and fills the experience of breathing wherever that might be in the body. And then there's a kind of, as we get a hang of doing this and feel like this is going well, there can be a gladness, certainly the gladness and happiness of relief, of not being lost and preoccupied in some of these thoughts, that thinking that we have, that maybe not for some of you, but for many of us, is not so much fun. It's not a great thing sometimes to spend a lot of time caught up in thoughts and ruminations and stuff. And what a relief it is to have the thoughts recede enough and not be pulled into their orbit and be settled and here. So there's work involved. This kneading, this sprinkling in, coming here. The next analogy is that what I used in meditation is that now the mountain lake with the underwater spring that flows through it. And now, in a sense, awareness has become very stable and expansive and big and kind of penetrates or is resting or is maybe coterminous with the body, that somehow now awareness and the body are not so distinct, but we really feel the fullness, the vitality, the aliveness of the body, where the sensing, the sensory apparatus of the body, the sense endings of the body, are part of the awareness system. And so awareness is not just cognitive, a mental observing or knowing, but there's a broader feeling of sensing and aliveness that's part of awareness. And so the body and mind now are there together as partners. And then within that, the concentration, the steadiness, the real kind of intimacy with just breathing has this inner goodness and nourishment to it, that there's a welling up of a kind of joy or well-being or delight that's not evaluative. It's not like we have to think ourselves into being happy. It's almost like some people say that there are joy hormones or serotonin and endorphins that get released in this steady massaging, staying with a focus of concentration. A sense of well-being wells up, and there's a flow of vitality that feels like it comes from the inside out, a joy that comes from the inside like a spring going forth. The last analogy is now, in deeper meditation, the sense of flow and vitality and joy settles away into a very deep, satisfying peacefulness. And the analogy is that the lake has become really still, unmoving. And there's lotuses growing in it, meaning it's not a cold mountain lake or something, but now it's a very nice temperature lake that's very comfortable to be in. And there's beautiful lotus, many different colored lotus flowers submerged in the lake, floating on the lake. And this sense of everything's very peaceful, everything is calm, very still. And everything that's known within that calmness, even though conventionally it might be something that's not, maybe a little bit of, I don't know, something not so nice maybe, but everything that is touched by awareness now, touched by the water, is like beautiful lotus flowers floating there peacefully in space in the water. So additionally, there's work with the kneading of the dough, and then there's no more work, and it's just a flow that's happening. We're being carried by the flow. And then the flow calms down, and we're just kind of in this very peaceful place, very still place, where everything just feels beautiful. And in these states where there's a lot of reassurance, a lot of confidence, a lot of equanimity. And it's a beautiful thing to tap into this capacity for deep confidence, deep serenity, deep reassurance. It does the heart a tremendous amount of good to have it. And it does not depend on the things in the world around us being just right, being fixed. It's this very private inner place inside that becomes a resource for which we can kind of enter into the world in a wonderful way. So maybe those analogies are interesting for you to play with and work with. And maybe this topic of inner reassurance, assurance and confidence is something that you can explore how that lives in you as you go through the next day. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thank you. And then to mention again that Monday we'll have a community meeting after our 7 o'clock sitting and the Dharma talk, so about around 7:45. I'll post a Zoom link in a variety of places on the IMC calendar for this event and the IMC What's New section, and also I'll put it on the chat here for the YouTube as well. And we'll have that meeting as a kind of marking our 1 year of doing these 7 a.m. sittings. So I look forward to those of you who will come. Thank you.